I call the July 7, 2020 committee of the whole meeting of the Quantico Park District to order. I mean, please call the roll.
All right, it's 7:02. Member Boren?
Yes.
Member Covey?
Here.
Member Ludden? I see him. Member Ludden? Member Underdone?
Yes.
Member Underdone?
Here.
Okay. Chair Brooks?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. So it is our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. For our posted policy during the coronavirus crisis, comments may be submitted via email to Ms. Shepherd prior to the meeting. Lisa Shepherd, please read any public comment received via email.
Check to see if I got any last few minutes. I did not get any. Is there anybody on Zoom that would like to do matters of public? Speak. No? Okay. So there is none.
Okay, so there's none. No one wants to make a verbal comment. Okay, so we will launch into this meeting now. Discussion on future capital projects. Lisa Shepherd, Carol Menzinger, and Chris Weiner will lead the discussion.
All right. So at the last meeting, we talked about the ability for the Park District to do bonding and what that would mean for the district, and the commissioners asked if we'd go back and kind of give up some scenarios of what kind of projects could be done, at which levels of bonding. And so staff, I give credit to Chris, did the heavy load of this one, and with Carol and Bobby and my assistant, mostly Chris, put together different capital scenarios at different bonding levels based on our facility assessment and the life of different amenities, and that's really where this came from. So that we can show you what projects could be done at which bonding levels and how we can continue to keep the level of service and amenities that we currently have at the Glencoe Park. So I'm going to turn it over to Chris to talk a little bit about Fund 65, Chris and Carol.
Actually, Chris, you want me to start with the funding mechanism?
Yes, please.
So we've broken it down into the two sections, really Fund 65 capital and Fund 69 capital. And big difference is we're going to start with Fund 69, which is a tax supported.
Fund 65,
I'm sorry, did I say 69? Sorry. Fund 65 is a tax supported means that we do pretty much what's the keep the lights on. Ongoing maintenance, repair of trucks, parking lots, HVAC units on our take-up center. Each year we transfer $500,000 directly from the corporate fund tax levy into Fund 65 to fund these projects. There is minimal interest that comes in, but primarily it's funded through that $500,000 transfer. So as you can remember, earlier this year, Chris was got the approval to do probably four or five projects that we had budgeted in Fund 65. Taking into account the beginning fund balance, the cost of those projects during the course of this fiscal year, we're right now looking at about a carryover into the next fiscal year of about $300,000 to $309,000. That's as shown in your cover memo on tab two. At that point, you kind of get a starting beginning balance before we go into the next 3 years. The $300,000, the $500,000 each of the next 3 years to come up with a value of the $1.8 million that Chris has shown in his cover memo. And from there, I'm going to turn it over to Chris to kind of go through all the red line projects, all the must-do projects that we must do over the next 3 years via Fund 65.
Thank you, Carol. So this is a lot to unpack. But basically, the reason that we selected to do a planning exercise with a three-year term is because that's the time that we would have to expend any type of bond monies that we took in. Is that correct, Carol?
No, 165 is...
Well, no, but the planning cycle is over 3 years.
We typically have done 3 years.
Yes. So what we wanted to look at was the facility condition assessment. So that's obviously in your packet under tab two. you've got the overall assessment for the district. You've got the ticket center, the boathouse, Watts, a few other pages, pieces of equipment, things like that. So that's a document that we've shown at the board level before. It's all been updated because everything got a year older. So what I did from that was I listed all the red line items, which are effectively the things that we need to have on our front burner in the next 3 years to continue to offer the same services and amenities to the community. So you'll see that under tab 3. So this is not an inclusive list of everything that the park district will spend, nor are we suggesting that this is something that we would execute in 1 year. But the purpose, sorry, Lisa.
You're muted.
No, I'm not.
Can everybody else put their thing on mute because we're getting feedback? It's hard to hear. So if you're not talking, go to mute, please. Thank you.
Can you hear me? I have a window unit in my office. Is it making too much noise? Okay.
We hear you, Bree. It's not too much noise.
Excellent. So we took those condition assessments and we lifted out the front burner items and created a red line summary is what we've called it. So we've shown in that summary effectively $1.4 million in projects, which is a little bit below our total projected fund balance, but with things like escalation, recreation program equipment, and other unknown purchases that may come up in the next 3 years, we wanted to go through the process of showing that this tax-supported fund isn't going to be a good mechanism for our Fund 69 master plan projects for the park district. So those other projects like those big park renovations or overlook replacements or playgrounds or sport courts or whatever it is, really without deferring these types of projects, we really don't see a way of funding those types of projects via these tax funds. That, Carol, is that accurate to you? Okay. So
if we really deferred any of these, we would really have to reduce our services to the community, which is not the ultimate goal, so staff would not recommend that.
So the particular amenities are developed from our condition assessment, which was provided by Architectural Consulting Group, as well as the Baird assessment, as well as the GSA standards for our vehicles and equipment. So really the timelines on these are not a super reach. So do we have any particular questions about Fund 65 at this time? Okay. Not hearing any?
Not sure. I mean, I have comments on your three-year list, but I'm happy to hold those if that's not what you were asking for. The explanation of the funds and the mechanism, I'm totally clear, and I think the binder was fantastic, so thank you.
Okay.
But if you were asking for comments or questions on the actual items listed on your three-year list, I have a few.
So, Lisa, I guess that's a good question. So this was really more of a planning exercise. We're not seeking for the board to approve this as the three-year list and say, you know, these are the projects we want to go with. So do we want to solicit that feedback on the projects, or do we want to chalk that up to more of a planning exercise?
Yeah, what we're looking for tonight is really to go over and show to determine what bonding level the commissioners would be comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Not really to debate each individual item. We will get to that point eventually when we actually budget our capital budget, probably at the next committee meeting. But at this point, that wasn't what our intention was. But we can if the board feels the need to do so.
Does that satisfy you, Josh, or is there something you'd really just like to ask and we can either say we'll discuss it later or address it now?
Well, I'll just give you some feedback. You don't have to respond to it or defend it or agree with it now. It's that you just will know my opinion earlier rather than later, I guess. I had a question about the stuff on Watts and whether some of the items there would be smart to defer if we're going to do that major project there that we've discussed before. The answer may well be no, these are separate or these are urgent, so that's fine, but I just wanted to ask that question. With respect to the boathouse, given the use that I see there and the what seems to be increasingly hot summers, I don't see a need for a fireplace. So I'm not sure I would recommend placing that fireplace in service at any significant cost. It says TBD here, but that's just my opinion. And then finally, again, I would get on my hobby horse about cloud computing as an alternative to a mail exchange server or a registration system.
Excellent. That's great feedback, Josh. Thank you for that. There's nothing better than when you get projects taken off your plate, right?
Well, I'm only one of five commissioners, so
exactly.
You should.
So again, we'll take those under advisement, and then when we go back to discuss this more detail, we'll talk with the rest of the board about whether some of those should be eliminated or registration software. That's something that we were looking to bring a consultant and really look at all different options, so that placeholder is really the placeholder of a number and not dictating the system.
The thought process was a cost to remove the chimney. I agree with you.
That's what's right.
Yeah.
It's out of service right now, so.
Yeah.
But that's not something we have to remove, right?
No, well, it's in poor condition, so it has to be removed at some point.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to explain.
That's a good note, Josh. We'll update that.
It's not out of service just to take it out, right?
For yeah.
Removing. Okay. Very good.
Maybe it'd be cheaper to place it in service.
You know, that might be worth a thought.
Okay.
That's good.
All right,
excellent. Lisa, are we okay to move on to Fund 69?
Yes, we are. So,
all right.
Carol's going to, are we going to talk about funding mechanism on this also,
yeah.
Carol?
So, totally opposite of Fund 65, Fund 69 has been funded with the surplus fund balance reserves in the Corporate and Recreation Fund over the last 7 years, as well as any grants and donations that we bring in, but it's primarily from that large transfer from Corporate and Rec, which has totaled anywhere from $300,000 to, in the current year, I transferred $1.5 million from last year's surplus in those funds. As we have spoken before, and in the midst of this pandemic and the unknown of what's going to happen and what's going to happen even this fall, having the adequate fund balances will help us operationally, but I don't think we can rely on that moving forward in the near term. And as we have talked about issuing debt, now that the Watts debt is rolling off in 2020, it's a good time to look at debt anyways, and we've been looking at it periodically over the last year and a half. I feel like that might be our only opportunity. Now with rates at an all-time low again, touch base with Eric Anderson, and they're continuing to be favorable, right where we looked at them last month. So I think we're looking at, we do have about $1.7 million looking to carry over into next fiscal year, but the board at the last meeting kind of wanted to see different scenarios based on issuance amounts, on what our carryover amount was going to be if we didn't issue any at all. And so Chris did a fine job of really laying out four different types of scenarios where we don't do any bond issuance, and thus there's actually a small tax decrease to the tax holders because our Watts debt is falling off. A minimum issuance of 1.5 to 2 million. Again, there's differences based on whether we do a private placement or a public offering. In the public offering, just to say that there is typically more issuance costs, but it's over a 20-year period, where a private placement would be over 15 years. And so the no tax increase is really the second option that Chris will go over. The third one is kind of a mid-range, where it's, you've talked before, and it again depends on if we go private placement or public issuance, there would be a tax increase, although not a maximal one that we're talking with the fourth option, which is what we have discussed in the past, and that would be to issue approximately $4.3 million and would result in a tax increase over what people are paying right now of about $39 per $800,000 value home. So that kind of gives a summary of the financial information, and it really then goes over back to Chris to go into detail on what those scenarios, four scenarios, look like.
So the first place that we...
Before you go, Chris, can I ask Carol a question?
Sure.
Of course.
In one of the earlier committee meetings, Carol, I believe I saw, but I'd like you to correct me if this is not right, that there's additional debt that rolls off in approximately 5 or so years. So if we just hypothetically were to go to the largest offering here and see the tax increase of $39 per $800,000, is there a story to tell also that, but it's going to go down again by, you know, $100 or $50 5 years from now?
You are absolutely right, Josh. The TAKIF Community Center debt, which was issued back in 2006, will actually be retired in 2025. I believe it's December 2025. Just to give you a comparison, what we're paying now annually for the Watts debt is about $130,000. In comparison, for the TAKIF Center debt, it's a little over $1 million. So there will be a significant increase if we do not do, and I think the only way to issue it would be to go to referendum at that time. We wouldn't have the capability of non-referendum debt. It would be very minimal, but we would have to go out to referendum at that time to actually keep that tax rate steady then in 5 years. I know we've talked about certain projects such as Lakefront Park, maybe coupling that with the beach and the boat to do all one as far as a referendum project. But you're absolutely right. That debt will fall off in 2025.
So just to, based on the order of magnitude of what you're talking about there, and I'm not looking at down to the last dollar, but you're talking about an increase of $39 for this one. There'd probably be a decrease of around $300, $400.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, in our... trying to get the bond issue approved, I want to say it was like a $300 to $350 increase at that time that the voters did approve at a referendum. So yes, it would be right in that vicinity.
Okay, thank you.
Very good question, Josh. Question?
Yes, go ahead, Dudley. Yes.
On the mid-range debt issuance, what would be the rate per $800,000? It would be less than the 39.
Yeah, I'm going to estimate 20 to 25. We really didn't have Eric do a scenario. It's kind of like for private placement, which is 15 years, 1.5 would be no impact. 3.3 would be an impact of $39. But for public offering, $2 million would be no tax impact. And 4.3 would be the 3.9. So that 3.3 is kind of in between for the private placement and the public offering. I just didn't want to over, you know, too much information with the different options, kind of give just some scenarios on what would have to be cut if we wouldn't do the full amounts.
Okay.
Carol?
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you have something else?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
Is it fair to say that like 20% of the tax bill for the average house right now is paying the TAKIF debt? And I'm looking at, I was so lucky to get my tax bill this week. But if I calculate, if you're saying that $200 to $300 right now is going to pay that TAKIF debt, I would presume that's about 20% of the tax bill that you guys are collecting is for TAKIF.
I would say that out of the approximately $5.8 million that is the total extension, 1.2 is for the debt.
That's about 1/6, right?
Yeah. So.
About 17%. Okay. That's a big chunk of change here. Josh, I appreciate you reminding us about that, because that, you know, that should help in our long-term planning of thinking about, you know, what do we want to do for the next 3 years, knowing that some people, or knowing that in 5 years we're going to have the same, very same discussion, but with a a much larger chunk, although as Carol mentioned, we may have to go to referendum.
Yeah, the discussion would be a lot different. It'd be a referendum discussion, which is...
But only if we wanted to redo the whole thing, right? Lisa, if we wanted to redo part of it, we could do non-referendum.
But only a very small portion of it, right, Carol?
Yeah, because we're limited. The legal debt margin is based on our assessed valuation.
Okay.
So this year was the triennial reassessment year, and our EAV went up considerably. I'm anticipating over the next 2 years that might not be the case. And what we can issue as far as debt on referendum debt is completely based on that EAV.
Can you remind us again what the take of debt was, or what the referendum amount was?
It was for a $14 million bond issue.
It's just good to have that perspective because while this isn't, a drop in the bucket, it's a big number. It's $10 million more, so.
Yes.
Can you also just remind us the stat before we talk about how much money you are comfortable with, where we are again with the grants? Did we switch over that? Did we say no to the ASLAN and go for that other grant? Where are we with that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Chris, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, so we've proceeded with the IDNR trail grant, which is $200,000. We've proceeded with the Chicago Metropolitan Agency for Planning grant, which is $667,000. In addition, the DCEO grants that you're referring to that we applied for, we did not receive. So we are continuing on with the OSLAD grant. We are waiting on our final contract from the IDNR. They have indicated that they are signing those contracts, and that is proceeding. In addition, the IDNR has indicated that they are reviewing the park grant projects, which is the project that Josh indicated that we should potentially consider holding off on if we're going to do a big WATS project. Those will go to committee for review, so if we are selected for review, we would be selected in September, and they will be likely announced around January for the districts that do receive them. So we will have that information in particular going into next fiscal year.
Good. Any other questions financially for Carol before we move on? All right.
Chris? All right, excellent. Thank you. So you'll see in tab 4. Go ahead.
Sorry, one more thing. I just want to point out to the commissioners that the intention of my question was not to imply that we should go for more referendum debt to replace the TAKIF debt. Although that's certainly an option for us in the future, but simply that if somebody were to come to me and question the wisdom of increasing taxes by $39 a family a year, I might say yes, but it's the lowest interest rate environment we've ever had. To not take advantage of that would have been malfeasance. And within 5 years, your tax bill is going to go down by $300 per family per year because this other debt is rolling off. I don't know if you all agree with me on that, but I just wanted to explain my thinking.
You just wrote our press release. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a good talk.
I like that word malfeasance. That's good.
Worry that with the malfeasance thing in there.
That we can't guarantee, and this is why I'm cautious of it, you can't guarantee that we're not going to go for referendum debt in 5 years from now, right? So I for one, have a good memory and don't love when things are written like that because it sort of, it puts your word at risk if you do go for some sort of referendum debt. If something happens to watch, if something happens...
I can guarantee I'm not going to be a commissioner in 5 years, though.
I know. That's exactly what I was going to say. So, thank you.
But in addition to that, just to go to add that, a referendum would be the voter's decision. It's not just the board of five people making that decision. The taxpayers make.
Right. But we can't
say...
We can't say for certain that it's going to go down.
No, we cannot. Absolutely not. I totally agree with you.
I remember a figure of $279 decrease from Eric's proposal. It's at home in my home office right now, but I will confirm that with you, Josh, as far as what that exact amount is. Lisa, I also don't know if
you're disappointed you don't have it down to the cents, Carol.
I'm pretty sure it's 279.
It's not 279.13.
She could have just made it up, but she's so honest that she said it, she doesn't remember what it is.
Hey, Lisa, I don't know if you want to just pose the question, too, of doing two issues, one right now and one later, because that is an option. It's not really reflected in the binder book, but there is the option to do an issuance now at no tax increase and then to do another one later. It just might mean that the tax rate, of course, is going to change and there's risk associated with that. Also, issuance cost two times versus one time is another thing to keep in mind.
And probably the biggest thing is the interest rate.
Yeah.
It's so low right now, you can't guarantee that would happen 2 or 3 years, so you have to keep in that in mind if you want to.
Carol, the issuance cost is not negligible, correct?
It's budgeted at $75,000. I know there would still, with a private placement, we would reduce a lot of those costs, but it's at least $50,000.
One other question for you guys. Have you been in contact, either Lisa or Carol, with your counterparts at the school or the library or others? Or do we know if there are other boards out there that are having the same conversations that we're having?
Yes, they're having the conversations, but I don't think any of them have come to a decision yet.
Suppose as a corporate citizen or as an individual citizen, I could join their board meetings, but I haven't.
But yeah, I mean, it's something they're discussing also because of the very low interest rate.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, what's next, Lisa?
Okay, Chris, goes back to you to go over.
Under tab 4, we have the asset condition summary, which we've historically looked at the board level in our capital planning. This is the heat sheet, you know, green, yellow, red, where we can infer the condition of our assets. On the initial heat sheet, we do have some new amenities on there, like potentially the skate park or the lakefront park entry path plan, those types of things. This was really more just to provide a historical sense. As you move to tab 5, you can see basically what I did with the condition assessment is I created a red line. So I pulled all the projects that were considered to be in the last, you know, 5 to 15 to 20% of their lifespan, and I populated them on this sheet with some prices attached to them. So I know that there's probably a lot of spirited debate about which projects are most important, what order they should go in, what we're willing to spend on each project. So for the purposes of tonight, this is really just a pick list to show the board these are the projects that we know we need to do something with in the next 3 to 5 years, 3 years in particular. Whether that something is saying we're okay removing this element when it fails, that's fine enough, but this is really just to give us a foundation of what we need to be looking at and we need to be thinking about funding. So the one thing that's important to note is the maintenance center. So as we go through this, you'll see the maintenance center funded at the $1.2 million level. So the one thing that came away from our design concept plan with White, which we have yet to bring to the board, is that a very conservatively built maintenance center is going to cost between $3.5 and $5 million. It's a lot of money. So we started to look at, so in particular, we're looking at about $1 million in site work, and then another $2.2 million in construction and another $1 million in soft costs. So the challenge with the maintenance center is it's a really big site. And the minute we move over a half acre of disturbance, we move to needing MWRD permits, and we need significant detention and retention on the site to care for all the water. So what was grandfathered in when they built the center in 1928 and then just added onto it throughout the process, that's not something that can be duplicated. So as we looked at that design process, we thought, well, it's not realistic to proceed with that right now, but what can we do to get the facility safe and far more efficient? So we're carrying a placeholder right now of about $1.2 million, and that's really focusing on improving the existing facilities that we have as a stopgap measure, as opposed to tearing down and starting new, which based on the numbers that we have, just really isn't an option for us. So as we go through the project files, we have each level of funding going from no debt issued, where we've recommended what projects would be executed at the $1.7 million level, to the next page, which is the $1.5 million issuance, which would give us about $3.2 million what projects we feel we could execute at that level, all the way on up to the $4.3 million level. At that $4.3 million is when we've recommended funding the stopgap improvements to the maintenance center, because at that point we'll have taken care of the majority of our infrastructure on the three-year plan. So, Lisa, do we want to just open it up to questions? How do you want to proceed with this without just going through and reading every single line item?
Yeah, I'm going to assume that everybody read over this, and we're going to open up for discussion to talk about just what, kind of get a feeling of where everybody's feeling of what amount of debt they would like to issue, looking at some of the projects on there. If you see projects on there that you totally would say, we're never doing that, it would bring us down to a lower level, we would need to know that too. So let's open up the floor for any questions.
I'm more concerned just in general with our financial picture because of just so many unknowns right now, that I wouldn't be opposed to taking at least the middle number or the higher one, only because it provides us a little bit of security with low interest rates. That's kind of where I stand. As far as the individual things, I have comments on, but I know that that's not the purpose of this discussion, so I will save this.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. When we look at this, we're really looking at what that, with the uncertainty that you talked about, Stephanie, in the past, we were looking at, we were able to do fund transfers from recreation. We were talking about moving away from that model anyway because of the increase in minimum wage and things like that, that in the future we wouldn't be able to set aside as much. So we can no longer really rely on that model as we did the last 7 years. We really have to look at this debt issue to take care of some of these long-standing issues we have. And so, if, in our opinion, if we don't fund at the maximum level, we'll have to take away some amenities or not resolve some long-standing issues that community members might have, or it would hurt some services that we have. So it's really your tolerance of that. Of are you okay with not taking away amenities or not fixing problems that have been, I guess we get a lot of complaint calls, or you guys get a lot of complaint calls also, or not having our park system look as it has for the last at least 7 or 8 years since we've been here. So that's really what you're really talking about, is what your tolerance of that is. So when you look at that last issuance, and you look in this page and say, wow, there's things that we really shouldn't do on here that would add up to a substantial amount of money. Would you say that's correct, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to note that this assumes we do not get the park grant.
Yeah, it does.
So that's important.
Yep.
Because if we do end up getting the park grant, we discussed, there's basically the match of the grant is kind of our ticking the must-do box. So you'll see those items between this and Fund 65. Even with the, you know, final funding, there are still unfunded things. I mean, there are things that didn't even make this list that we do get complaints about, conversations about lighted tennis courts and dog parks and, you know, additional walking loops at West Park and things like that. So this is still not, you know, the pie in the sky plan. This is really focusing on refreshing the existing infrastructure we have to ensure that it's here in the community in another 20 years.
And I'm going to jump in because we're not even talking about funding tennis courts, light tennis courts maybe ever, or dog parks. We're still not able to fund some of the basic amenities that we have now, not mentioning adding additional amenities if we don't do the 4.3. So, you know, so when you hear light tennis court, that's really not in the plan at all.
Right.
Dog parks, really not in the plan at all. Even we'd have other things that we'd have to fund for those would.
Okay, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
And Chris, and, well, I don't know who would answer this, but the difference between level 4 and level 3 is this 1.2 to kind of shore up the garage, the facility back there. And what I'm curious about is what, if you could sort of generalize what that would look like,
That's a great question.
It occurs to all of us after that tour, I'm sure, that eventually the whole thing is going to have to get replaced, whether it's done in chunks. So just reassure me that that 1.2 wouldn't be wasted if 4 or 5 years down the line, you know, maybe referendum or something, we end up doing the whole facility. How can we be good back there without losing that 1.2 investment?
Well, I think of course if we were to plan on tearing the facility down in 5 years, I think we'd have to go into our planning cycle really looking at the lifespan of all of our equipment and saying, okay, well, this roof is forecasted to last 10 years, so we know we're not going to replace it. I think that we focus on doing things that improve the life safety aspect and the efficiency aspect, things like upgraded utilities, you know, restrooms that, you know, are made for human beings. I think things of that nature versus, I really see this as keeping the existing footprint the same to prevent the triggering of the MWRD permitting process that's going to start to run away with the moon. I look at that $1.2 million right now as a placeholder. I mean, because we've also talked about potentially using some of the Lindenhouse monies for that as well. But I think that that's something that we have to kind of turn the valve on as we're going. You know, we've looked at the total replacement and, you know, based on our current condition, we know that that's not an option. So what can we do next? And maybe next means $400,000. Maybe it means $600,000. But I think that we've all acknowledged that we have to do something.
What it really means is we would fix the things that we're worried about safety for the staff. That would be the first priority that we would do, that we really could not hold off for 5 more years. So we would take care of some of those safety issues that we identified. That would definitely be taken care of first, something that we could not defer long term. And I think you've all saw some of those issues. And what the exact price tag is, we would really have to bring someone in and really look at that portion of it. But we're just putting that as a place mark because we think that's very realistic.
Question?
Yes,
where do we stand on the Lindenhouse, and when can we expect those funds, and can we reallocate them into this fund, 65?
We closed on the house tomorrow, so it's being sold tomorrow, so we'll realize those funds within tomorrow. And we've always said from day one we're allocating those funds into Fund 59, so they'll just go into this fund and they'll be earmarked towards our projects that are approved by the board.
Carol, correct me, but I believe we've included that in our estimate at this time.
I was just going to say, yes, we've included that in the $1.7 million carryover.
That's
right. Okay.
Yep.
Right? No, I was hoping, too. Okay.
It's still exciting, because then we'd be at 1.3.
It's very exciting, yep. And then we don't have to take care of that asset anymore, so it's very excited to get out of the home ownership business of the Park District. So that would be our last house. When I started, I think we had 3 or 4, and now we have now gotten rid of the last one, so.
Crazy.
Yeah.
All your legacy is selling assets, Lisa.
That's it. Just selling them. Actually, this is the first one
we sold. You're a corporate raider.
Other ones we just tore down and made back into either a park or...
Parking lot.
Yeah. Changed into assets. So this is actually the first one.
I will say, Lisa, this is the first time I signed closing documents with you today where I didn't feel sick in my stomach, so it was
Me too.
And a nice family is moving in and going to improve
very nice family.
The asset, and that's all lovely.
Yeah, that's what they say now. They're going to fix up the house, not tear it down. Any other questions? What are you guys thinking? Is there something way you're leaning towards?
We do not have to make a decision tonight,
but we, you know.
Absolutely not. I'm trying to figure out why everything wasn't built like the beach stairs.
Right?
In 1920, that still lasts. I'll tell you, there's a lot on here, and I think that there are some hard decisions that we have to end up making too as a board. I mean, I know we keep talking about, as I looked on here, I kept on looking at my friend, Lisa Brooks, and I have had conversations on our friend Milton Park. And you know, I keep on talking about how today's CapEx is tomorrow's OpEx, and we have a lot of things to maintain. Lisa, you put Glencoe Park Districts on a it's an incredible pedestal that we are on, and to maintain that is just really it's tough and tougher, and I get it. So I lean towards what Stephanie is saying, sort of towards the higher end. I don't think we don't issue debt, but I'm thrilled that we went through and looked at, you know, why we have to issue something, because I think that means that y'all have done your homework. I tend to kind of not necessarily be at that top end of the range. I like to be a little more conservative on it, but I'm going to have to just dig deeper into some of these things and figure out where the right answer is. Part of it is also I do want to understand what the burden is on the rest of the, you know, $40 for us is not a bad deal, but if it's $40 for us and it's $70 for the school and it's $20 for the library and it's $30 for, or $50 for the village, those add up. But I tend to think we have to go towards the upper end as well. I just don't know. I'm not sold that it has to be the top yet, because I do think there are some things in here that we can probably rationalize. But I think the exercise is the right exercise to do. So I appreciate, Chris, I can't imagine how long this took you. In an uncentral air AC lockdown room that you're in over there. next time go to Take It, we just put a new air conditioner in it.
I like my office.
He has air conditioning.
I have air conditioning.
I see the little unit over there.
He has air conditioning, he's all cool.
Yeah.
Carol, can you remind us again when we issue this kind of debt, how long we have, what's the time period we have to use it?
Sure. So we did do the BINA hearing in February, which is a great thing. With the BINA hearing, you have 3 years to actually issue the debt. If we do a private placement, it could happen a lot sooner. But according to Eric this morning, it takes about a two-week window with Moody's to go through the bond rating process. Another week out to finalize all the documents, and then they would go out sale like in 4 weeks. So bigger a month.
And then how many years do we have? What's the time period to use
it? We have 3 years to spend that. There are certain criteria on spend down requirements for arbitrage. So that would be something that we would also probably work with PMA, who did it last time, to based on the schedule of when these projects would happen, schedule the investments to come due when we need that money to try and maximize our interest earnings on that, on the bond issuance. But 3 years is the time frame.
Dudley, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I am sort of between option three and option four. I do see some areas where I think we could scale back a little bit from option four to the option three. Just because we can issue a lot of debt doesn't mean that we should. I'm also concerned about the what I'll call the optics. If we have a big bond issue, given the coronavirus and everything we're going through, so it's good to know what our other, I call them sister agencies, are going to be doing. Especially many of us just got our tax bill, and that made us think again about different bodies that come through. I'm especially concerned about Cook County and what's going to happen there, but I think we can certainly do a lot. I do think that we should have a debt issue. I think we're looking at order of magnitude kinds of questions, what gets included, rather than whether we do it or not.
Yeah.
Well, I think a good discussion, maybe this is next committee meeting, is what you would cut on that last page and the $4.3 million debt issues with a list of projects. What would you cut on that page? And then we probably could answer you back about what the ramifications of those cuts would be. So, for example, if you say, well, we really don't want to do West Pony baseball field, we could then come back and say, here's the ramifications of not doing anything to that field. You know, would we have to take it out of service? Would we, what that would mean to the programs and to the community? If we say, For example, we don't want to do Hawk Park drainage. Well, we could explain it more and say Hawk Park drainage is not just the drainage that spoils the sidewalk that may be for commuters. It's actually the inability to use Hawk Park and the gazebo we put in there because it's flooded six months out of the year, so we can't have special events or weddings. So we could go through this when you say, I don't know if we have to do this. We could come back and say, well, here's, and that's fine if you decide to, but here's the ramifications of the services of cutting that amenity or not servicing that amenity. Does that make sense? Because it's hard to see, you see it written down and you don't really know the ramifications of what would happen or the amount of maybe you have a lot of drainage issues in our parks and it seems to be increasing in the last 5 years, and we could talk about that and what the ramifications are not doing anything about the drainage that is getting worse and worse. So we could talk through each scenario so you can really see that picture if you decide to cut it, and then later on people get angry about that, you would know and be, you know, have all the information that we can provide you. That makes sense?
Okay. When did you want to have that discussion at the next meeting?
We could do it, but in August we're only having the board meeting, and we don't have one later on because of the closed facility. Could we wait till September to have that discussion, Carol? Or should we have that during the July? We could do it during the July board meeting because there's less on the agenda.
Yeah, I would probably have it sooner versus waiting until September. I mean,
so
I
could do it at the July board meeting to have that discussion.
Isn't that like next week?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Is it next week? No, the 21st, 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks. So it gives a little time to think about it. I'll ask any questions or whatever.
I would point out to my commissioners as you think about this that my fellow commissioners as you think about this that there's 10 more projects for $200,000 each that are just off this list that are going to be on this list next year when Chris comes back to us.
Right.
So yeah. I kind of feel like we should get them the low cost money while we can.
That's a great point, Commissioner. Because I definitely populated these lists to the bond amount. And if we gave you a total encompassing list, I mean, you can see in that asset and condition summary, that's a 5-year list, almost $10 million worth of projects. So that's a very good point, Josh, that this list just goes on and on.
But that always happens, right? I mean, that's what one of the
correct
is. And we may, you know, and again, we may have to figure out what to do when the pay gift stuff comes up.
Chris, just a clarification, on this list, you have the take a flat roof sinking fund, 150. That's just the contribution over the next 3 years. That's not the cost to replace that, correct?
Yes, that's correct. We're estimating at about $1.5 million, and that will be due in 2028.
And Michael, you're exactly right. We do have, we put some stuff in when take it rolls off, but you have to remember, passing a referendum for boring things is a very hard task.
Right.
Keeping assets is not a very exciting thing to do. I mean, probably the honest answer would be the way we would pass a referendum for money would not to be do any of the beach stuff for 5 years.
And, or Watts.
Or Watts, but I think the beach, If you keep on deferring that, boy, that some of those amenities are going to look really rough in 5 years. And but that's just it's just something to remember that when all of a sudden say, oh, in 5 years we can go for a referendum. Referendums are really hard to pass for maintenance type issues.
Right.
That's just my past experience.
No, I get it. And look, I'm a big fan of. I want to maintain what we need to maintain. I think the beach and Watts are probably the two things you can get the community really behind.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can think at our next committee meeting. What's our next committee meeting?
We have our next board meetings in July, and then we have the first week of August. We defer to committee meeting to a board meeting, so we can discuss it there also.
Okay. I mean, I think having this meeting here to help frame the discussion helps me read this a little bit more clearly and with a different,
right,
a little bit of a different lens. But I agree with you, Lisa. I think obviously you want to save the beach and the, or you want to have referendum debt for those things. I just think we have a lot of stuff that's not beach and not Watts on here too that we can.
Oh, we do.
Right.
Yeah, we do. Which would totally.
I mean, to me, I'm actually the thing that I'm most concerned about, and it's probably because you showed it to me, is I'm concerned that Chris is going to trip and fall in that maintenance center. That's my biggest concern, because that has an expense.
Hey,
you know, that puts insurance up and puts our insurance rates up and has a long tail on an expense like that. So I see a lot of this going towards Chris's playground back there.
Well, we know that we don't have $4 million to spend on the park yard. We know that. As much as all of us would like to do that total project, when we found out the total price tag, you're both
shocked
like you are. Yeah. So but we definitely, if we have 1.2, we can definitely fix some of those safety issues that we're all concerned about.
Right. So I'll weigh in, because I'm hearing sort of as a summary, people are kind of 3 and 4, not quite knowing where to land. And while I look at this list for option 4, and I have to say there's a couple of things that are of some concern, but nothing jumps out at me as being something we should not consider. I would have to agree with Josh's malfeasance comment, so I will just double down on the malfeasance comment from earlier this evening and say that's pretty much how I'm going to look at this. But I will also say, Josh, I made 3 comments on that 3-year red line. The first was the cloud comment next to the email. The second one was the what is this fireplace thing? And then the third one was whatever else you said. So it was exactly, I look at the sheet, it's like made 3 pencil comments on there. So I guess maybe we're in the same thinking.
We've been working together for 3 years now. I'm starting
maybe
to think like you.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
So that's how I feel. So has everyone had a chance to kind of weigh in and give their, you know, and I don't mean to be dismissive of the fact that we're asking for, you know, the fourth level of 4 levels. That would be ignorant. You know, we represent everybody. But, you know, there's a lot to do, and there's a lot, you know, minimum wage going up was a significant issue before. Now we've got COVID. This is going to last for months. I just think that we have to be responsible in the way we look at this. So that would be my comment. Stephanie, did you want to add anything? You weighed in and sort of said somewhere between 3 and 4. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Is that what you need, Lisa? Do you need more?
Or? Well, we can come back in July and talk about a little bit more about if you're debating between 3 and 4, we can look at 4 and say, okay, on here, what would you cut? And then to Josh's point, we'll go back and put on a list of other things that will come up next year, and we'll populate that too and say, okay, if you cut those, here's another list of things. Are you willing to cut those also? Because you're right, it keeps on building up year after year. And it's just such a great interest rate right now. It's really get more bang for your buck than we would have a year ago. So, okay. So we'll bring that back.
Lisa, your last question?
Absolutely.
So we were supposed to go through the bond rating process in March, shortly after we shut down, and we put it on hold not knowing what we were going to do. The cost of going through that process is about $10,000. It was budgeted. I feel it might warrant going through that process and reaching out to Eric to kind of set that up earlier versus not, because it will, if we wait until the July meeting and then we don't make a decision until the August or even September, I think if we can go through that and not have to wait on Moody's, we're going to be that further ahead in the process to issue.
Oh, yeah.
Is everybody okay with doing that?
How long is that rating good for?
I'm not sure, Dudley. I'll find out. I'll let you know.
A couple months anyway.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And we should have made a decision by then, I believe, right? Well, and everything initially that was in that presentation, I'm sure, is going to change as far as what Moody is going to want to talk about based on the COVID pandemic. So I'd rather get started on it sooner versus later.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, isn't another factor, a lot of people are going to be looking for money. So it's going to be kind of, the system will be backed up, you know, thought. I think we've all agreed you're going to need money. So the $10,000 as well, and we budgeted the $10,000, it makes sense to proceed.
Okay,
I agree.
Yes.
Anyone disagree? Okay.
Hey.
All right. So, let's see here. A verbal update on programs and facilities operations from Lisa, Chris, and Bobby.
Yeah, so I sent a lot of emails over the last couple weeks, so I just wanted to circle back around, see if there's any questions, just give a little bit brief update. So sent you an email about starting to train our lifeguards and our boat guards, which we have started that process. Probably the first time in history that they've ever trained in warm water. So they're loving that. So that's exciting. It takes 2 weeks to get them up and running. They are chiefing guards from last year. We have no new guards. That's why the process will be a lot faster, actually. And we're excited about that, adding that back on. So we'll get those up and running as soon as we can. But safety will always be our first priority, both for our guards and for our public. So we want to make sure they're fully trained before we do that. Mentioned already that Linden House is sold and will be closes tomorrow. So Lisa and I signed all the paperwork, so it's pretty much a done deal unless they back out tomorrow. There's been a little movement on the Frank Floyd Wright cottage, back and forth. Kind of asked the Flagpole Historical Society to send out a letter to all the neighbors outlining the progress they've made and what they've been doing, and they did so. And they've been pretty much dealing with all the correspondence related to that, which is mostly about the how they're handling water, the water issues there. And the village is open to talk to any of the neighbors one-on-one to go over the plans with them, and just like they would with any other neighbor that was putting in a house next door to them. So one thing they're not doing is sending out the plans, you know, to the whole community, but they can come in and talk with them just like they do for everybody else. So the house will be moving on July 21st at 8 a.m. It takes about an hour and a half to get to the park site. They'll move it on the park site right next to where the final location will be, and then they'll move it on to the foundation, which they're hoping to get that done before, but with COVID that was backed up, so they weren't able to do that. The fence did go up today, so they are moving on that, so we're very happy to see that. They have the funds, and they have shown all the funds available in escrow, so and they give us their monthly statements to show that it's still there, so we're satisfied with that. Bobby and his team have been very busy with programs, very creatively, maxing out space at TACA, allowing for the COVID regulations and social distancing. And so Bobby, I don't know if you want to give just a little brief update on that and the programs and the fitness, or actually Adam's here, you can talk about the fitness center after you're done with programs, Bobby, if you want.
Absolutely. So it's a very busy start to July. We started the 4th of July, started summer care. We had San Diego Aquatics Camp start, train the lifeguards, boat guards. We started all of our July programming. Of course, the fitness center opened yesterday. So a lot of great things going on. Adam will talk more about the fitness, but so far pretty positive. Over 20 people there today. No negative comments whatsoever. People seem to feel pretty comfortable back in the building.
Yeah.
Adam,
do you have anything to add?
Yeah, it's picking up. People are getting the gist on how to reserve time slots. We're getting to the 13, you know, time slots. And the team having to cross the park to make sure that, you know, it's being clean. People are getting checked in. So it's been good. It'll continue to grow. Just over 25% of members returned as of yesterday. You know, another probably about 15% returning August 1st, and then the rest will be September 1st. So we'll just keep growing. It'll be a nice soft opening throughout we're excited.
I have to say, kudos to all the teams. This would not be possible without all the teams working very closely together to make it happen and to trying to maximize our staffing and revenue. And so, for example, Carol's team, who does the front desk, instead of bringing someone in at 5 o'clock, they are just flexing their hours, so they're staying until 6:30, so we didn't have to bring in another paid staff for an hour and a half to keep that. Clara, who used to work at Fitness Keeper as a park ambassador down the beach. So creative things like that, working together, going in and cleaning between shifts is actually in the recreation team, parks team, and the front desk team, and they're all taking shifts to do that to minimize expenses there. I saw this morning when I was coming in, one of our favorite musical instructors was outside doing a class out front of Take-Up. So every space is being used, and staff is being very cautious about social distancing and wearing masks. We have a little issue with some of our contractors, but Adam and Bobby quickly got that under control and reminded them that they look like our staff out in the field, so they need to wear a mask just like we're having our staff do. Not the most comfortable thing, but if you're anywhere 60 feet or near a patron, a mask has to be on. So we are working through that also. So, but kudos to all of our team, and our youth program started. So I know our central daycare has been going for a while, but now our youth, our version of day camp this year started on Monday also. So didn't get one call. In fact, the front desk even said, because Stephanie did great Zoom two time slots to answer any questions. The front desk said there was no questions that came in for the first time at the start of a program like that. So kudos to her. So.
I was on that because my kids were there, and she did a great job.
Good. Thank you.
And I did like 10 questions, so.
I like that. That's good. You practiced it. 4th July was fun but different. None of us worked 16-hour days. So that was what was different. But the beach was very manageable on that day. We have found that people are coming to the beach to stay for like 90 minutes and then leaving, and so we're able to have really controlled groups down there. They're socially distanced. We're concerned about the water, people in the water, so the amount of people we have coming down is actually perfect for the amount of going in the water. We're not seeing the happening maybe in Evanston where there's some overcrowding and things, so the way we have managed it is very, very, I guess,
impressive.
Yeah, so it's going very well. We did open, which I think I talked to the board about, is that we would monitor how we went to 4th July. We have taken where they took off the wait list. People can buy season passes now if they would like to until we reach a certain point. And so if people still want to buy, because I got a couple calls from some residents who really wanted to buy passes because their grandchildren coming in or not something, we felt we could accommodate more resident passes after July 4th when we saw the crowds and we were able to manage that. So.
Did we have to temporarily ask people not to go down, or did that never happen?
It never happened, and we were prepared for every scenario. Matt and Bobby and his team, they did a great job planning for the worst case scenario, did a great training the day before. We never had to use it, but that will come in handy if we have some really hot days. But what we're seeing is, because it's probably 75% residents, probably a little bit more, that people are not coming and staying there all day. They're coming for 90 minutes, so we're constantly people are leaving and new people are coming in, so that's what makes it so ideal. So.
Yeah, it's like when you have a season pass to Six Flags, you can go there for 2 hours a day, which is what I used to do when I went, as opposed to, hey, I paid for it, I'm going to go all day.
Exactly. That's a great thing. That's exactly what I did. So.
Yeah. Look, I think the beach is being run really, really well. It's clean, the staff is friendly, I think, you know, it's working out really well. Thank you for that. Two quick questions. Are the picnic benches, when were those put in?
Those were put in on the 4th of July to allow for more seating for lunch and you know.
Got it. Because they just showed up and I didn't even, I was like, God, I don't think these were here yesterday. And I was
there. They're magically brought down.
And they'll hopefully be gone tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, are you getting rid of them?
They came from Lakefront Park.
Yeah. We were a little concerned that Lakefront Park would become the default location for everybody that didn't get in the beach, and that was not the case either. Now, you have to remember that we did put a letter out to the all season pass holders saying, hey, it might get crowded.
Yeah.
Probably kept some people away. But also, in the past, people were used to having the beach closed on the 4th of July, so I don't think we have as many non-residents as maybe we wouldn't have if we always opened on July 4th.
I think a lot of people, went away. I would say about 20 to 30% of the families I know went away this weekend as well. Bless you, Carol.
Hopefully not to Georgia.
No, or Texas for that matter. So that was one thing. The parks, so the benches are, I was hoping they would say they're actually longer. I kind of like thank you for putting the sign up. I have not seen anybody use it to wash off their feet since the sign is up on the water bottle filler.
That was a very good call.
Oh,
it really grossed me out for a second there.
Oh, mother.
I have a quick question for you. Are you finished, Michael? I'm sorry.
I yield my time to the senator from Skokie Lane
South. Okay, so now that we've lived through the 4th very handily, is there, and we've discussed this briefly before, is there an idea that we might start encouraging people who might not know it exists, those season pass holders, to buy the 10 pack of guest passes, so that those people who say they have a teenager who wants to go with their friends but they can't get in on their pass, but they could buy a pack of 10 guest passes, that might be a way to, you know, generate a little revenue and satisfy some unmet need.
Bobby, can you address that, because we had that discussion last week?
Yeah, we absolutely are opening it up. We haven't publicized it yet, but I think it's a very valid argument, and I think we will now that we've got through 4th of July and we're more comfortable with the operation. I think that will give access to more people as well and be able to come at different times. So, yes, we are. We've already started selling people calling today. So, we're going to be working on a plan to communicate that in the next couple of days.
How much is that? The two gentlemen who called me today, their grandchildren are coming. I'm like, buy a season pass and then buy 10 guest pass. So we're kind of marketing that way, so they didn't have to buy for the whole family. So go ahead.
I do think a lot of people don't really know about that option, because for good reason, we didn't, you know, push that. How much is a 10 pack? And you can only buy them in
$10.
How much?
So for a resident, it's $50, so $5 a visit per guest. And for non-residents, it's double that.
That's a good deal.
Yeah. So we sold a good number of them. But again, our concern was I'm going to bring 20 of my friends down, and we're going to have bigger events down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now that we're going to the 50 people capacity, that opens up a little bit ability to do that a little bit more. And now after the 4th, we were afraid that a lot of people were going to buy them and just bring all their friends down the 4th. So now we know they're probably using it to bring friends or relatives that come into town.
Sure.
Yeah, we're seeing about 845 came on the 4th, just under 900 came on the 3rd. So we're seeing up to 800 to 900 now, where when we started, we were at the 400 and 500 today.
Right.
So people are definitely starting to come by with the good weather.
Okay.
Any other questions on programs or anything I sent you in the last couple of weeks? My Friday updates have turned almost daily, and we see that the regulations have slowed down considerably through IDPH and the governor's office, so there will be less changes. We're just waiting for a little bit more changes to come through DCFS for our care program, and that should be probably the end of it unless we go back, which we're hoping does not happen.
I just wanted to add that the park district and the beach is on my regular bike route that I do at least every other day, and I have to say the ambassadors are handling things really, really well. I mean, they're friendly, they're firm. When they need to turn somebody away, they do that. For the most part, people accept it. They may not like it, accept it. I think they're doing a great job.
They really are. We did a conflict resolution seminar last week because they're really getting the brunt of people's anger, not at them, but just at the whole situation of the COVID-19. They were getting the brunt of it. So we wanted to give them some tactics to help diffuse some of the anger. So it was very well received.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I see that there's an organization, I was kind of surprised to see they're going to be doing some full day camps there. And I just want to caution that their communication isn't the greatest from recent personal experience. So we may get, you know, we as the park district may get the brunt of that coming to us in question. So,
Becky, if you could just let Bobby know those names, me and Bobby know those names of those, and we'll get out ahead of that. So if you could let us know so that we'll make sure that we communicate that and want to see their correspondence beforehand.
That'd
be great. Because we are concerned, because people see them in our building, they assume they're our employees, so we're holding them to the same standards we're holding our employees to, so we want to make sure that happens.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. Does everybody know what she's talking about?
No, we'll deal with it.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Good. Anything else?
I have no other business.
Oh!
Baseball's going great.
Oh, baseball. Oh, Chris, you want to tell them about what you did for baseball? Thank you.
Spring athletics are in full force here in July. So we have baseball, we have soccer. Baseball, because there's a significant decrease in the participants who want to join travel leagues. We've seen some kids who normally used to participate in travel move over to the house leagues. So in particular, Westfield, which it plays at the pony level, GBA, which is the Glencoe Baseball Association, was having a difficulty fielding one team historically. Now they're fielding three teams. So we had to spend a little bit of time out there at that field and get it up to playing conditions for what would be appropriate for recreational play. So we were able to surge our staff and take the experience we gained from the South Bend Cubs and apply that out there at that field and do a little bit of, some significant work and renovations to the field. So get it up to playing snuff here for this year. But again, that's another one of those sites that when you walk around there, you can definitely feel that it needs some love. But we're just happy to have everybody out and playing soccer, baseball, tennis. I mean, it's like all the seasons are combined into one. So it's very unique to have the beach going on and baseball and soccer and tennis. It's a whole new world.
Nice job. Nice job on that. It's also Bobby's birthday today. So
it is.
Birthday to
He's
Bobby.
25.
He's 25 today.
Yes. Oh, Bobby.
A decade. Yeah. 32 today.
Happy birthday.
What a baby.
Happy birthday, Bobby.
Congrats.
Thank you.
All right, that's all I have.
All right. Well,
hold on.
Oh, wait.
Oh, nope. Yes, Michael?
La Brea Shona Dweet.
That
means
happy birthday
in Irish.
Oh!
You need a little practice.
Oh. I didn't even know what you said, so.
Wait, Bobby's not really Irish?
You got me.
I'm gonna text it to you guys so I can put this in the conversation for the record chat.
That's accent from a cereal box, huh?
That's what Google Translate says.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay.
Josh, I am really glad that I got to make you laugh during this meeting.
All right.
I just want to state for the record that I think my air conditioner has failed in my office during this meeting. The temperature's gone up about 25 degrees since we started. But see how flushed my face is?
After the bond, you will have 1.199500 money to spend after you buy the air conditioner.
That'll be great. Thank you.
So wait for the bond. Lisa, don't let him spend it until he gets the money from the bond.
Okay. You got it.
Chris, I used to do a lot of business in India in the mid-90s, and we always could tell when 6 o'clock p.m. was, because that's when they turned all the air conditioners off, and by 6:10 you were loosening your tie, and by 6:20 you were in your t-shirt, and by 6:30 you were out of the office.
Holy cow.
I can't believe you went to India. I will only go to India in like February.
It was the hottest thing I've ever, the hottest place I've ever been.
Oh, no.
Stephanie, do you want to show everyone your dog just before we leave? And that dog bites, everybody. Show everyone the dog.
That's the biggest one. I had to pick her up.
Oh,
she's
adorable.
She looks like a little, like an Ewok.
Yeah,
but bites
or gremlin, whichever
yes,
you want.
Yes, gremlin, totally.
Could be a little gremlinish.
Yes.
Okay.
Four. You know, I have four dogs. It's just one of
them. Okay.
Oh, but that's the biter, right?
Yes, she bites.
Huh?
Our dog.
On that, I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Well done. Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you all.
Thank you.